Years ago, Mr. Cecil wanted to teach his young daughter about the idea of faith. She was playing with some small beads that were precious to her. And as she's playing with those beads one day, she seemed just so wonderfully delighted with her small beads that her father thought, she's so absorbed in those, I wonder if I can teach her something about faith. And so Mr. Cecil said to her, "My dear, you have some pretty beads there." "Yes, Papa." "And you seem vastly pleased with them," he said. And she said, "Yes, Papa." He said, "Now, I would like you to throw your beads into the fire." That's quite a dilemma for a little girl, isn't it? She's thinking about what her father had asked her to do, and tears streamed down her face. Oh, how she loved her beads, but she also loved her father and trusted her father. And so it is that, summoning all of her fortitude, heaving with great effort, she tosses all of her beads into the fire. Well, her father had asked her to make some hard choices. You will find in your life of faith that our Heavenly Father will also ask you at times in your journey with Him to make some hard choices. We're in a series in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, entitled Becoming a Person of Dynamic Faith. Remember, this book of Hebrews was written to Jewish people who had come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but the pressures that they were experiencing to go back to their old life and the old world were pulling at them. And the author of Hebrews writes this wonderful book, a long book, to give them an encouragement to move forward. And as he's writing this book, he comes to Hebrews chapter 11. When you think of the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the first thing that comes to your mind is what one word? Faith. You've got it. It is a record of people in Jewish history as he looks back to the forefathers of these Jewish believers who in their lives believed God and took steps forward by faith. And he's encouraging those people, those Jewish believers in their generation, as their forefathers had been willing to believe God by faith and go forward, he encouraged them to believe God in their generation and go forward. And we, now many years removed from this, read this very same chapter. And as we read the chapter, we read it with this encouragement that God is calling us in our generation not to go back, but to go forward in faith. We're walking the pages of the Bible and we're walking the pages of history and watching other people go forward by faith. And we are learning what it is to become people of dynamic faith. So take your Bible and turn with me in your New Testament to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we will together consider another person that became an individual of dynamic faith. This person we'll read about today has been given more space in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 than any other person except for one. The one who's been given the most space in Hebrews 11 is Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. But the person that we'll read about today has been given the second, largest amount of space. This is the man who is the great lawgiver, the man who is the great leader who brought liberation to God's people. His name is what, church? Moses. So you've turned in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. I would like you to find with me verse 23. And we will read from Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 23, through verse 26. All right? Let's all stand together as we often do. And we will read the scriptures, follow along in your Bible as I read the scriptures aloud. Now, here's the question as we read the scriptures I'm going to ask you to think about. The question I want you to think about is this: what made Moses a person of dynamic faith? Let's read the scriptures. And you're thinking that, what is the answer to that question? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather than to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, what is the answer? Thinking it through, what is the answer to the question, what made Moses a person of dynamic faith? I'll tell you, it's the same quality that makes you an individual of dynamic faith. It is this. People who become people of dynamic faith are people who are willing to make the hard choices. And I tell you that God is calling people of this congregation of every generation. If you're going to follow God and become the person that God wants you to become, a person of dynamic faith, a person that God can make you. When you come to times in life where you have hard choices, if you're going to become a person of dynamic faith, you're going to have to be willing to make the hard choices. Let's pray and ask God to help us, all right? Now, Lord, you're going to reveal, I believe, in this portion of Scripture, you're going to reveal to the men and the women, the young people of this congregation, that there are hard choices to be made. And for some, this is going to become a very significant day, because on this day, you will bring this individual to a place where he or she is going to have to make a hard choice. Lord, there are others that will have hard choices in the future. You are using this day to prepare them for that day. And they'll remember their time at Stanley Heights. And they'll remember when you showed them that people of dynamic faith make hard choices. And they'll remember it. And it will encourage them to make the right choice, though it's the hard choice. So we need the Holy Spirit's help, Lord, so that we might know your mind as you've revealed it. And then that you would show us the reality of ourselves. And humble us and help us, we pray. And I ask for the enabling of the Spirit to preach, for all of us to understand. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I want you to notice then, as God is bringing you to times in your life when you have to make hard choices to become that person of dynamic faith, the first truth I want you to notice is the providence of making hard choices. The providence of making hard choices. Because Moses' story began, as it's revealed in Hebrews chapter 11, not with his life as an adult, even as a young man. His story begins with the story of his parents. Notice your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Do you realize that God providentially works in every life to bring people to the point where they can make those hard choices that make them dynamic people of faith? Your life isn't an accident. The things that God has allowed in your life in the past are not accidents. These are all things that God is working providentially to prepare you as you reach points where you make those hard choices. And so it was for Moses. God had providentially prepared him for a time in his life when everything in his life would change when he made the hard choices. But this really began with providential parents. We read about here in Hebrews 11 the account, but there's more to know about it. So we'll go from our Bibles in Hebrews 11 back to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. This whole story began with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt's providential decree. The people of Israel had grown into a size of people that were like a nation while they were in Egypt. And so Pharaoh said, boy, we've got to do something about these people because they could overrun us. I know what we'll do. We'll make them slaves and we'll be hard taskmasters. And do you know what the scriptures record? The harder they were on the people of Israel, or on the Jewish people, the harder they were, the more they multiplied. Oh, this isn't working too well. So then he came up with another plan. Here's what I know we'll do. We'll tell their midwives, whenever a Hebrew boy baby is born, we want you to kill that baby. So it was that as these babies are born, these Hebrew midwives would believe God more than they, or fear God more than they would fear the king. And they wouldn't kill the babies. And so finally, Pharaoh says, well, that's not working. What am I going to do? I'll tell my people, whenever they see a little Jewish baby boy, throw him into the river, the Nile River. Well, Pharaoh's decree led Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, to a dilemma. Because we read Exodus chapter 2, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. This is the last of their children. And we read that when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, you can hide a newborn infant for a while, but eventually, you can't hide a screaming baby eventually, right? You can only do so much. So now what are they going to do? Well, let's keep reading. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. Now, you can picture this, can't you? Takes reeds and then begins to weave these reeds together to make an ark. And, of course, there's slime and mortar, and so this is waterproofed from the inside and out. And then with the flags, that's the reeds that are sticking up. And you've been at the water's edge, and you've seen the plants, and they're sticking up. And so this baby is placed in this ark and placed in the water's edge so that there the baby is at least protected. And I want you to notice then that with this dilemma, you say, what in the world were his parents thinking? That's a very strange way to try to hide a baby. What were his parents thinking? Well, God tells us exactly what his parents, Amram and Jochebed, were thinking when they made the ark and when they put the pitch on the inside and the out and when they put the baby into the reeds that are above the reedy areas along the bank of the Nile River. Because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, reminds us of this declaration. When these parents were willing to do this act of faith, the Bible reminds us of this, verse 23, that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. His mom and dad, Moses' mom and dad, came to a point that they were not afraid of doing the right thing, even though it was the hard thing. Didn't know how it would all turn out. They didn't know what would go on, but they knew that they must fear God more than they would fear the king. And so it is that you will find in your life that you will reach points where you have to decide, who am I going to fear? Am I going to fear man or am I going to fear my God? Now, when you live under the fear of man, it will paralyze you and it will manipulate you. But when you live in the fear of God, it energizes and motivates you. So for Moses, God providentially prepared his parents. You know, that's true for you. Whatever your background is, every one of us have a different story, don't we? Every one of us have a different place that God has in his providence, put us in that place, in that background. But all of this is something that God is working in, so that through your life, he uses it to make you the person of dynamic faith that he wants you to be. Don't ever use it for an excuse or a crutch. Whatever your background is, don't ever use it for an excuse or a crutch. All of this was arranged providentially by God, so they were providential parents. And then I want you to notice as well, as we reflect on the account in Exodus chapter 2, the providential protection that God gave him. So here is Moses. He is in the reeds by the river, floating in this ark, and his sister's watching to see what happens. And guess who walks by? Who? Tell me, church. You got it. Pharaoh's daughter. Now, why she came by, in fact, we read the account, but why she came by, maybe she was going to take a little bit of a bath in the water's edge. Maybe she was hot. Oh, it was hot. Desert heat. Maybe she needed to just cool down a little bit. But she comes by, and while she's there, what does she hear? She hears this baby crying. Now, that's unusual. She hears the baby crying, and she looks, and there among the reeds along the river's edge, there's a baby. Look at this. It's one of the Hebrews' children. Now, you have to be hard-hearted to turn your heart away from a baby. Oh, my goodness, a crying baby. Oh, you have to be really hard-hearted. So she takes this baby, and she takes the baby to herself. But I want you to notice then that his sister Miriam is watching, Moses' sister Miriam. And she runs up and says, oh, listen, would you like me to find a Hebrew lady to nurse this baby? Oh, would you? I think I know somebody. And who is it that Miriam takes her little brother to go see? His mom. And Jochebed then nurses this baby. In fact, when you read the scripture, what's the scripture say? She gets paid to do it. Wow. All of this shows that God providentially protected Moses for what he had for him in his life. But wait a minute. There's something else that we find about God's providence in Moses' life. We learn about the providential placement of Moses so that now Moses is placed in his birth family with these parents of faith. And as they wean this baby and as they grow with this baby, there's a relationship formed so that evidently there was enough of a relationship that in his adult life, Moses said, I'm going to identify with my people, the Hebrew people. But beside his birth parents, I want you to notice, there are his adoptive parents, his adoptive family. And God providentially placed him in Pharaoh's family as well. You see, there were things that God knew Moses needed to learn that he could not learn in his family. So God places him providentially in Pharaoh's family. We read about this, not in the book of Exodus. We don't read about it in Hebrews chapter 11. But we do read about it in the book of Acts chapter 7. So go with me now to the book of Acts chapter 7. So there's providential preparation while Moses is growing up as a prince of Pharaoh, that God was working in his life to prepare him for those hard choices he would make one day. Acts chapter 7, I'll begin reading in verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months, really confirming the record both of Hebrews 11 and Exodus chapter 2. Then keep reading. And verse 21, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Now Moses, who was just going to be one boy among thousands as a Hebrew, now is placed as a prince in Egypt, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's highly positioned, but wait a minute. Beside being highly positioned, notice chapter 7, verse 22. The beginning portion of verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was highly prepared. He received all the best training that could be had in his day. It prepared him for leadership. And then beyond that, he was highly competent. If you'll keep reading in verse 22, the latter part, that Moses was mighty in words and in deeds. So here's a man who had already proven himself to be highly competent in leadership, highly articulate, highly able to perform in his field as a leader. And all of this, you would think, oh, what terrible thing that this boy was removed from his family. In reality, this was all something that God was arranging providentially to prepare him for times in his life when he would have to be willing to make hard choices. But there's something that changed when he was 40 years old. Everything in this man's life changed when he was 40 years old. Now, for some of you younger people, you can't imagine that things happen when people are 40. That's old people. How many of you kids think that 40-year-old people are really old? Say, boy, I can't even believe they can hardly walk. And look at 40 years old. That's how old that is. Now, Moses lived to be 120 years old. But as an adult man, about a third of the way through his lifetime, there's something that changed when he turned 40 years old. Chapter 7 of the book of Acts, verse 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So that Moses now, looking back on his life, he's 40 years old and he's looking at his life and what's ahead. He's looking at what's behind and he realizes all the things that God had done in his life. And God was so working his life to begin to change his heart that he said, wait a minute, I need to do something in my life beyond where I am. I've got to go do something that God has for me. And his heart was turned to what God was preparing him to do and to become as he was to be the one who is the Redeemer of Israel. It all led Moses. And all of this point in his life, now at 40 years old, he had a life-changing decision to make. All of this was the providence of making hard choices. And this providence that God brought into his life and arranged in his life to reach this decision now brought him to the point of making hard choices. You know, God providentially brings things into your life. And all of those providences bring you to decision points. What you do at those decision points determine the kind of person you're going to become. And you will find in your life that God will bring you to points. And then at those times, you make a decision. And when you make the hard choice, it begins a series of a walk with God that takes you on an adventure of faith that changes your life. But all the way along, there will be other times when you have to make hard choices. But for Moses, it all began at 40 years old when finally there was no way around it. There was no inescapable reality. He came to this inescapable reality that he had to make the hard choice. And you know God is doing that in your life. So in the hard choice that Moses makes, I want you to notice that on this day, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it's described for us in this way. Go with me again back to Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, verse 24, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, the grammar of it makes us very emphatic that Moses made an individual choice for which he was fully responsible. And he made very clearly that he said, there will come a time that I will refuse to the direction that I have. I refuse to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was a change of direction. In your life, nothing changes till something changes. You decide. God brings you to these points of decision. For Moses, it was a change of direction, but there's something else. It was a change of identification. See, up to this point, when people looked at Moses and they'd see him walking around and they saw him as he carried out his work as a prince of Egypt, he dressed like an Egyptian. He acted like an Egyptian. He grew up as an Egyptian. But at some point, He changed his identification. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he chose a new identification. You'll see it in verse 25. That he would choose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. Now he is choosing to side and identify himself as one of God's people. It's a change. It's a decision that changes. It is a change of direction and a change of identification. He was going to look at his life differently now. Now, here's something interesting. In the scriptures, in the New Testament, this is the significance of baptism. Why does God have people to be baptized? Oh, I know, to wash away their sins. No. Not at all. I know, they just need to get wet. No. Why is baptism so significant? Because baptism is a change of identification. It is a public declaration that I used to be a person who was sold in bondage to sin. Jesus, God's Son, died and rose again for me. I, by faith, trusted Him. And He has forgiven my sins and given me new life. It's a declaration. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And in your life, you're going to have to make these decisions. If you've not obeyed the Lord believer's baptism, then you ought to obey the Lord believer's baptism if you've trusted Jesus Christ. But there has to be a change in your thinking that I am not the person I was. Now I'm a person who is one of God's people. It is interesting. Of all the ways that Moses is described in the scriptures, there is one title by which he is most described. Of all the ways he's described, all of these are titles of Moses that are not given to him while he was in the prime of his life, even while he was leading Israel. But they are all written about Moses later on in his life. Do you know what he's called? Six different times he is called Moses, the man of God. So whenever people thought of him, they thought of a man of God. How is it that people like you become a person so when they think of you, that is a woman of God, that is a man of God, that is a young person that just reminds me of what God is like? Do you know how? What made Moses from a prince of Egypt to a man of God was he was willing along the way to make the hard choices. There's nothing holding you back from becoming the man of God, the woman of God that God wants you to become, except for one thing, the hard choices. The hard choices. So Moses, we learn from his life, we learn about the providence of hard choices. We learn about the point of making hard choices, and you are faced with a hard choice today. Hard choice to forgive. A hard choice to let things go. The hard choice to embrace that which God has for you. The hard choice to venture forward. The hard choice to fight the flesh. Whatever it is that God is bringing into your life, what is the hard choice? You see, what you do when you come to hard choices is going to determine what you'll become. And that takes us finally from the providence of making hard choices to the point of making hard choices. It takes us finally to the process of making hard choices. What goes through a person's mind when they come to the time of hard choices that helps them to make the hard choices? What is a person thinking when they're making hard choices? When God reveals to us about Moses' life, He reveals to us about the process that every person, when they come to the hard choices, the thinking process that they go through. You'll read about it, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 25. Of Moses, it is said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There's a three-step process you'll go through when you make hard decisions and hard choices. But it doesn't begin with the choice you make. Isn't that interesting? It really begins with the values that you have, what's important to you. Now look at your Bible. We're told this about Moses, what was important to Moses when he made these life-changing choices. There are hard choices. Verse 26, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You see, it tells us something very interesting, that Moses, before there was ever a law, before Jesus ever came to the earth, he looked forward to the Redeemer that would one day come. And he looks forward to this, and he realizes, there is a Redeemer who will give his all for me, and he is worth everything. And here's a man who has all the advantages, all the treasures of Egypt are his. But he looks ahead and he says, there is something so much greater. His values. And then your values lead you to make choices. That's the next step in the process. Look at your Bible, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, he realized that, hey, sin has pleasure for a season, but there's something that is far greater. And because of the values that he had, it led him to make the decisions that he makes. Now stop for a minute. Do you realize that your decisions reveal your values? You tell me what's important to you, I'll tell you what decisions you're making. You tell me what decisions you're making, you'll show what's important to you. So it goes from your values to your decision. But there's something else, because as we read this account, God tells us what Moses is thinking, his values, his decision. But there's something he looks ahead toward that you need to note. Notice your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26. Of course, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now watch this one. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. See, he realized that there's a payback. And God is the one that gives the payback. So he goes from values to choices to reward. And realized that Moses looks ahead. Indeed, God is a, Hebrews 11, 6 reminds us, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And with all the rewards that he had here, he said, there's a greater reward ahead. And so I'm willing to make the hard choice in this time in my life, with temporal in the temporal values, because I'm looking forward to the reward that come from eternal values. And you know, if you'll be willing to follow God and make those hard choices, you'll never regret it in this life. But realize, so much of the reward is going to be in the other life. So whenever you're at this point, you're making these decisions, God's providentially brought you to a place in your life that it is time for you to make a hard choice. Today, you have a hard choice. It's right there. You have to think, what do I value? Based on that, what choice am I going to make? And when I'm making that choice, let's remember that God is the rewarder. I want to make the decisions that God will reward. And when you come to that point where you're ready to make that hard choice, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Because God the Spirit is helping you to understand now in the hard choice that is happens to be in God's providence before you on this very day. What's going through your mind? There come a time, it won't be too far down the road, you're going to have a hard choice to make. When you come to that hard choice, you need to stop and think, what do I value? What choice will I make? What will God reward? Well, I began telling you the story about Mr. Cecil and the bees with his little girl. But there is more to the story. So So let me tell you the rest of the story. And I'll tell you in the words of the man himself as he wrote. He writes, "Some days after when I returned home, I opened a treasure and set before her a bag full of large beads and toys of the same kind. She burst into tears with excessive joy. 'These, my child,' I said, 'are yours. Because you believed me when I told you to throw those paltry beads into the fire, your obedience has brought you this treasure. But now, my dear, remember, as long as you live, what faith is. I did all this to teach you the meaning of faith. You threw your beads away when I made you because you had faith in me that I never advised you but for your good. Put the same confidence in God,' he tells his daughter. 'Believe everything that he says in his word, whether you understand him or not. Have faith in him that he means you good.'" So when you come to the hard choices, have faith in him. He always means you good. Would you stand with me, please? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as you stand. God is calling people to make hard choices. God has prepared this day for you. You've not yet received Christ. It's time to repent. That is, turn from all your old way and leave it behind. And by faith, receive Jesus Christ. He'll give you the forgiveness of sins. But you, by faith, must trust what he did on your behalf. Today's the day for you to come to Christ. Now, as a follower of Christ, there are others that God is bringing to hard choices. He's prepared you for this day. And on this day now, he is calling you to make the hard choice. Trust him. He doesn't bring you to these hard choices in any reason, in any other motivation except his love and his goodness in your life. He's a God who is good. When you're making the decision, remember, he's a God who's good. And I can trust him and his goodness. And so, Lord, as people are making decisions today, we pray that you would help the individuals. As each man, each woman, each young person, each boy, each girl, as they're making these decisions, we ask you, God, that this hard choice would be that next step in making them people of dynamic faith that you have the power to make them. So we commit them to you and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your head is bowed, your eyes are closed, it is time for you to make a decision. What are you going to do in the hard choices? So for you, if you've not yet received Jesus Christ, he's calling you to redeem you and to save you once and for all. I invite you to step from where you are to the nearest aisle. And we have men here who will direct someone who can open the scriptures and lead you to Jesus Christ. There are others that God is calling you to take that next step. God is calling you to that step of faith. And as you're following him, you're deciding about a hard choice. This is the time to say, "All right, God, I will believe you because you're a God who is good. I'm willing to make the hard choice." This is the time for you to be willing and to do it. Let's do it together. If you'd like to share that moment with somebody who will pray with you, then there'll be people here. Just step to the nearest aisle. If you just like to have a time with you and the Lord together, this is your time to do it as well. You can use these front steps or these front chairs as a place where you have an altar with you and the Lord, making the hard choice, believing God. If you'll look this way, we're going to close our time here with prayer, and then Pastor Basinger will lead us in a song. Boy, it's barbecue today in the fellowship hall. If you have not bought a ticket and you didn't come prepared, Listen, there's plenty back there. I hope so, right, Pastor? Yeah, there is. All right, I know there. I already knew that. I was being funny. Maybe I wasn't that funny, but I was trying to be funny. So there's plenty for you there, and I know you'll enjoy just being together. It's in the fellowship hall, and you'll want to make your way there today. And let's see, let's do this. Pastor Alexander, is there any other instruction we need to know about over there? We'll pray and that's it. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll pray now, and that way you can make your way right there and you can dig in. And there are a number, you'll see on the table, there have been a number of local businesses who have sponsored things and provided things, really super nice of them to do. You'll see a display on each table with their names. Hey, let's go ahead and try to frequent these establishments and support them for supporting us, okay? That would be a great blessing to them. They've been all very kind to us. We'll pray, thanking the Lord for the food, and then Pastor Basinger will close us with a song.